You had a lot of smiles on your face during that. It was wonderful to watch from this perspective. I want to be a little bit brief this morning. You're all noble for being here on this hot and steamy summer Sunday, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about how I was feeling the other day. It always seems that this time of the year makes me feel a little bit older. And the reason is I keep watching the children of my friends and kids that I have witnessed their birth and kids that I have baptized go off to college. And nowadays with the social media, there's often pictures of these young students that I'm still picturing as these tiny children I held in my arms, standing with their proud parents at every institution, it seems, of higher learning in this country. And these parents, you know, they should be proud of their children, of the growth that their children have shown over the years. Growing up today isn't easy. It's even harder than it was for us years ago. It's hard for everyone. It's been hard for everyone throughout history. It wasn't easy for Jesus. And that's why I chose the lesson for today, because it shows to us a glimpse of Jesus' struggle during his adolescence. The passage from Luke 2 is our only real story available showing the physical, emotional, mental, and religious development of Jesus, and all in a compact story. The story takes place, of course, in Jerusalem during the Passover, which, of course, was the biggest celebration of the year. Now, while in Jerusalem, Jesus became separated from his parents. Mary and Joseph looked everywhere for him and finally found Jesus in the temple. I mean, just imagine for a moment finding your 12-year-old son in the church in a foreign city. But there he was, sitting in the temple among the great leaders of Palestine, asking them questions and listening and learning. People were amazed with the wisdom and the knowledge that this young boy showed. And Mary and Joseph, however, when they found him, they were his parents. They were upset. "Where have you been? We've been looking all over town for you." Somehow that didn't come through in your reading, Barry. But that had to have been the reaction of these concerned parents. And you can almost hear Jesus respectfully arguing back. "But mother and father, you don't understand. I must be in my father's house." I won't tell you what my father would have done for that statement, but the response here even confused Mary and Joseph. They didn't understand what Jesus meant. But you know, when I think about it, perhaps Jesus himself was struggling with his presence in the temple. In the temple, it became clear that Jesus had a special relationship with God. But when his parents came along, Jesus began to remember that he was also the son of Mary and Joseph. His identity seemed so complicated and confused. On the one hand, Jesus was beginning to realize that he had this special religious identity for the world, for other people. And so he had a great hunger to be there in the temple. But at the same time, as a teenage boy of that time, it must have been uncomfortable to be away from his parents in the big city. It seems to me that Jesus was struggling with the question, "Who am I?" Growing up for Jesus didn't appear to be easy in the Bible. The religious identity crisis that Jesus seemed to face is one we all face. On the one hand, we have our earthly identity in the activities of our work and our relationships. Our lives are so chock full of school and sports and family and friends. Who we are seems to be defined by what we do and whom we relate with. At the same time, we have our religious identity as Christians, trying to live our lives with faith and hope and love. But our religious identity, like that of Jesus, is one that where we struggle. We struggle with the call of discipleship and the implications of God's love for the world as it relates to us. Of course, the two identities interrelate with each other. But there are other times when our earthly identity and our religious identity seem far separated. Much like Jesus, we face the confusion of defining ourselves as Christians in the world. Defining our religious identity becomes a lifelong growth process. You see, growth is a universal process for all human beings. But how does one grow in the Christian faith and the way it relates to our lives? I think first, we all need to put some effort in. Growth in our faith is not going to happen by accident. I think in today's society, our vision of a mature person is one who has all the answers. But here in church, where change is difficult at best, growth is suppressed. We tend to build little walls around our faith to protect it, and the status quo becomes more important than our relationships with God. In today's lesson, Jesus was hardly one with all the answers. He's described as a student among the religious leaders. He listened and he asked questions. And even though people were impressed with his understanding, Jesus is still being portrayed as one who was growing through his questioning. I've learned that pat answers in the realm of theology are usually accompanied by a certain shallowness of faith. I remember a time long ago when I first served as a volunteer for a junior high youth group during my early years of seminary. I was at this point in my life where I really needed to be respected and I needed to be looked up to by these children, these youth. I thought that if I talked about the Christian faith as an answer to all of their teenage problems, then I would have their respect and their admiration. Well, one retreat, several of the junior highs were having a heated discussion with me. When finally one of the kids blurted out, "How can you possibly understand what I'm going through? I'm getting picked on at school, I feel unloved in my home, I'm miserable, I'm lonely, and all you can do is give me an explanation that I can read in a book." I realized how wrong I was. This young boy's outburst challenged my entire way of ministry. I began to realize that I was not respected for cramming answers down people's throats. Valued relationships and growth occurred when I listened to their concerns, when I shared in their joys, when I respected their opinions and asked them challenging questions. I realized very early on that growth often happens from questions, not answers. Growth in the Christian faith implies that we don't need to be afraid of who we are. Growth as people also implies being more conscious of who we're becoming. When growth takes place, we rejoice in gaining a glimpse of who we are and who we're becoming. Growth happens. And it requires a lot of time and patience. Well, we're right before the beginning of a new church year. It's a time to renew our commitment in Christ and renew that commitment to grow in our relationship with God. The struggle for our identity as Christians in this world is crucial. And it's a difficult struggle these days. My hope is a year from now we can look back and each of us can say, you know, I've grown a lot this year. And so has our church. Amen.